I just feel like there's revival coming to this place, and we're kind of like disturbing the devil a little bit. He's not liking it, so we're going to disturb him more. We're on a roll now. I love it when the devil gets upset. Hallelujah. You ain't seen nothing. Just wait till you see what's going to happen when revival sweeps through this place. I've never seen what I know is here since I've been in New England. I've seen on a small scale, you know, as far as I'm talking about multitudes. I've seen multitudes in my prayers and in my visions and in my faith crying out to God. And I've seen a real need for us to be here and established when they all start doing that. And God knows, because people do not change ordinarily overnight. And no matter how much you want to see instant, complete deliverance and change, it takes some people 20 or 30 years to get to where some of you made it in 3 days. But whether it takes 20 years or 30 years or 40 years of trying and failing and trying again, if we make it at any point, no matter how long it takes, it's victory. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'd a lot rather see, I got more confidence in a person that'll come up here and just be real. Amen. And I got more rejoicing going on tonight in my heart because somebody's dared to be real tonight. Amen. More than I've had in many services, to tell you the truth, because some of us still need to get real around here. At least we had one that stepped forward and did. The rest of you do the same thing, we'll see that revival come. Amen. Brother Rick's not the only one that needs to pour out his heart. Amen. I'm not going to preach about that right now. 12th chapter. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You may be seated. The joy that was set before him was the reason why he did what he did. It's because of the joy that was set before him. And yet, what we saw happening as we read about in the Word of God, agony, suffering, torture, false accusation, rejection, a mob saying, crucify him. Some of those that had been blessed by his presence were joining in that crowd saying, away with him. Amen. But he did it all for the joy that was set before him. When I was younger, I often wondered, what would that joy be? And I had several things come to mind, the joy set before him. But after years of seeing the work of God unfold and being a part of people trying to get right with God, I've come to have a little more understanding what it's all about. In light of other scriptures we read, there's joy in the presence of angels. Amen. Over just one sinner that comes to repentance. There's more joy in the presence of angels than, you know, with just one person that has sinned that will come and make it right with God than there is over the others that haven't sinned. Amen. So now, if the joy in the presence of angels I've heard a lot of people, you know, say, oh, the angels rejoice, and I'm sure they do. But that joy in the presence of angels, in light of all the other scriptures in the Word of God, it's the Lord that's joyful. It's the Lord that's having a good time. It's the Lord that we serve, who is looking forward to enjoying this wonderful joy set before Him. That's why He endured the cross, so one more sinner could come clean. So one more person could be set free. So one more soul could say, I've had enough of this world. Where, you know, there's joy tonight. Brother Rick, Jesus was dancing and shouting tonight while you were standing here. You might have felt a little bit bad, but I'm telling you what, I felt the presence of rejoicing that the Lord was feeling in the presence of angels. And you're all right. Don't you worry about us. We're your family. You're all right. You don't have to do any more confessing. No more apologizing. You did it. Hey, it's gone. Such were some of you. Now you're washed. Now you're washed. Now you're washed. Now you're washed. And guess who's glad about it? That's what the cross was all about. That's what the cross was all about. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? For the joy that was set before Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Scripture says, as it's giving these words to us, that we need to lay aside every weight. If something dragging you down, something pulling against you, and there's nothing any more disturbing to an individual trying to get right with God. And I'm talking to several people tonight, and this is not for just one or two, but for several people who are struggling, wanting to live for God, but they can seemingly only do it when they go to church. Amen. We all have our different interests, and we all have our different concerns. We all have our things that get on our mind, and I'm telling you, some churches just have Sunday morning service, and that's it. But the way the human rat race is today, we really need more than that. We really need more, because it just seems like we forget, even from Sunday to Tuesday, who we are sometimes and what we have. Amen. And I can't address one without, you know, saying it to all, because you never know. You never know from one service to the next who's going to come feeling the victory and who's going to come feeling almost down and depressed and defeated. So we ought to have some preaching here to get it all equalized. Get it all balanced, you know. Because when one goes up, another goes down. You ain't seen nothing. You ought to see it when you got 300 of us together like this. Praise God, and 400 together like this. There has to be somebody in the crowd that's able to keep smiling all the time. And right now, ain't very many of us, and you know, not many of us to smile, not many of us. So if one of us gets sad, it kind of, you know, it doesn't take but one of us being down for 1/20th of the whole congregation to be down. You know? Praise God. But you multiply this a little bit and get about 400 of us. And it continues. I've been in churches where there were a lot of silly people. Not in Norwich, of course, but I'm talking about in churches and places. I've been in places where there were a lot of silly people going to church. And I don't say that throwing stones at anybody. God loves everybody, including silly people. He loves everybody. And what we consider silly people, I'm just talking about people, you know, who do crazy things. You know, like one guy jumps up in church and says, "It's coming a day when women ain't going to wear no clothes at all." And he said, "I long to see that day." Silly people. I was in another service once when, you don't know whether to rejoice or say, oh me, you know. I was in another service and, hey, y'all just bear with me tonight. I am bringing to you a life of experience tonight and some things you've never witnessed that I have lived to see and survived, and I'm here to testify tonight. No matter who comes to church, no matter who says what, no matter who does what, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy of every one of them. Hallelujah! For the joy of every one of us. Fat people, skinny people, silly people, crazy people, smart people, and those that think they're really nice people. Hallelujah. You never give up on anybody that wants to try. I've been in churches where there were silly people in the pulpit. When I talk about silly in this case, I'm thinking about some who, if somebody, they're always on guard to see if anybody's going to mess up. Well, if you're going to try to be on guard to see if anybody's going to mess up, you're going to be busy all the time. You know, and so the piano player says the wrong word during the week or does something or maybe doesn't speak to somebody. Pastor gets mad. Sets them down, won't let them play the piano for a couple of services. Or if the deacon, maybe lets a word slip when he gets, like I was fishing with a guy, and he was a board member in the church that I pastored, and we were fishing together, and I guess he forgot who he was with and who he was and what he had for a moment, because he got hung up on a stump with his hook, and he said some words that you don't say when you're trying to please God. And then it dawned on him what he had just done. He turned around and said, Pastor, he didn't have to apologize to me. It was kind of fun to watch him try, but hallelujah. It was God that smote his heart. Amen. But I've seen these people, try to rule the kingdom of God. And I think that's silly. To me, that's silly. That's just as silly as that, as one man on Fox News says, that pinhead that said that, what I said a few minutes ago. Got quiet when I said pinhead. It's just as silly to try to take charge over God's heritage when that's supposed to be God's job. So they rule who can have fellowship and who can't have fellowship. Who can enjoy the blessings and who cannot based on what they see, what they know. I want to tell you something. In my experience in living for God, there's a whole lot more that you don't know than what you do know. And I don't care how you try to monitor it. The best thing we can all do is look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hallelujah. I'm not here to knock anybody, but I'm just telling you. I know of a church right now, Brother John, you'd be surprised to know because you know something about this church because we once hosted them on our internet service. But a very large church right now that's suffering terribly because of a misunderstanding in the congregation. I'm talking about a church with hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of members. I don't rejoice in that. But I've seen it coming for a long time because there's that silliness of people feeling like they're better than somebody else. But God loves those people too. What God rejoices about and what happened at the cross that brings joy to the Lord is when the humble are raised up by the hand of God and the haughty fall down and finally get humble so God can raise them up. And that's when the cross is having its effect. Hallelujah. When those that have lifted themselves up are brought down, the Lord said, hallelujah, glory. He rejoices. Because that's sinners coming to God, coming back to where they belong. Sometimes the way up is down. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Had a silly guy in our church, one of the churches I was in years ago, who felt like that he was supposed to follow the evangelist around. And the young man's name was, he was 40 years old, but now he seemed like he was young at that time. But he was 40 years old. His name was John. You've heard me talk about Sister Emerson, who got healed of a broken leg in a victory march. John was her son. And he had what some people would call a couple of screws missing. His elevator didn't make it to the top, and his bread wasn't done. All those problems. But John decided that he was today's follower of Elijah. He was the Elisha for the day. And Brother Bill Berryhill, our evangelist, was preaching. And John decided that that was Elijah, and he had to follow him until he would be taken up. Then he was going to get a double portion of his spirit. I didn't know what was going on. We had a good service that night, 300 or 400 people around. They were in the altar praising God. And now, you people out in the world, you want to make fun of the church, I'll give you a lot of stuff to talk about here tonight. But we ain't near as silly as you are in your bar rooms and your honky-tonks and all your things that you do. Thank God. I'd rather be a part of this with all the silliness that's in it because of the joy set before Jesus that we get to enjoy it while you're out there crying in your beer. Praise God, because this is real. And that's not. But here it comes. Hey, God loves silly people. Aren't you glad, Brother Dane? So he's following Elijah around. And Brother Bill Berryhill, he starts off the pulpit, and here comes John right behind him. Brother Berryhill stops, John stops. Brother Berryhill goes a different direction, John goes with him. Brother Berryhill was trying to shake hands with people, and John was right behind him, everywhere he went. When Berryhill would stop, John would stop and just watch him. He kept his eyes right on that man because he's thinking any minute now he's going to go up. So they passed by me once, and Brother Berryhill looked over and said, "Hey, Rutledge, is there anybody we can get this guy off of me?" Hey, right after you preach, people are praising God. This is all going on at the same time, And there was another one of the church members standing there, and he said, "What am I going to do, Rutledge?" I said, "I don't know." So this other man said, "You want me to handle it?" I said, "Sure, take your liberty." I was hoping he wouldn't really, because this guy had been known to use a little too much liberty in times past, but he was one of those rough converts that we had brought into the kingdom of God, but he was always looking for a good excuse to be tough. So anyway, he went back to it was a long auditorium. He went back to the door way back there and just kind of stood and waited while Brother Berryhill walked around the building, and here comes John right behind him. And so when they passed by, this fellow steps out and grabs John by the collar. And John said, "The blood of Jesus is going to be on your hands." He said, "If you don't quit following that man, the blood of John's going to be on my fist." In spite of all that, 205 people got the Holy Ghost in that meeting. God loves for everybody to come to church. I don't care how silly you are. Now, that don't happen all the time. But there are some churches, there are some groups of people who will not allow those kinds of folks to show up. But I want the church at Norwich to be a place where anybody in any condition, if they want to take a step forward, can find love, and appreciation, and everybody here wanting them to be a part of this, and everybody loved just as much as anybody is loved if they're willing to keep trying. If that's what we are, I believe God is still rejoicing, and He's glad that He went through that cross, that crucifixion. Hallelujah. If there can be a church in Norwich where anybody can come. Even if they're not right mentally, God's able to heal a mind. There's a fellow over here at Martha's Vineyard. I stayed over there in Martha's Vineyard several times when I was preaching for Sister Jeffers years ago. And I met this fellow over there whose mind had been blown on drugs. He'd got to the point where he couldn't even talk. He couldn't reason. He was just a zombie, you might say, walking around on Martha's Vineyard Island. And Sister Jeffers went out and prayed for him one day, and God gave him his mind. He was just as sane as anybody you could ever meet. Praise God. God took a man that had burned his brain with drugs, restored him through prayer in the name of Jesus. Sister Jeffers prayed, and she died a few years later. But she prayed for this man, and God restored him and restored him so well that he was able to start a business. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. He was Jacqueline Kennedy, Onassis, whatever all her names were. He was her interior painter for her house to keep it nice and looking good all year long. And even if he didn't have to do hardly anything, she gave him $100,000 a year just to be on a retainer. This is after he had blown his mind with drugs. Now, Jacqueline wouldn't have hired him if he hadn't had a pretty good ability to think a little bit. That's how well God can heal a silly, crazy person that's been a failure. So who are we to judge anybody? Oh, listen, we're supposed to let the wheat and tare grow up together. We are instructed to just look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Let God be God, and let you be one that depends on God. Judge not, lest you be judged. Praise God. Don't try to take the splinter out of somebody else's eye. Amen. When you got a big old boulder in your own. Hallelujah. I hope I'm making sense to somebody tonight. I just want to reassure everybody, or restore, if it's been lost for anybody, the fact that this is not a church where silly people are not wanted. And this is not a church where people that must make mistakes are not wanted. You can be a drunk yesterday, and you can be slobbering all over somebody's couch and just be a mess, and come in here wanting to serve God, and you can come to this pulpit and take your liberty and express it. There's not very many churches where you can do that, and I'm not wanting to compare myself with them, but this is the house of prayer. This is a house of faith. This is the house of healing. And look, if you're not able to see that and you're not able to be a part of that, then you need to come up here and do a little bit of talking humble yourself so God can rejoice about your bringing yourself down to the level where you can start going up again. Hallelujah. Ain't no big eyes and little U's around here. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised who you're going to meet in heaven. You may be surprised if you could know now who's going to be there. Hallelujah. I tell you who's going to be there. A whole lot of people that made Jesus rejoice. A whole lot of people that enjoyed the benefit of the blood that was shed on the old rugged cross. That's who's going to be in heaven. a whole lot of people that made a messed up a lot of times. Just really messed up. Disappointed others. Some of those that are disappointed may not make it. Hallelujah. The ones that make it will be the ones that kept trying. There's a reason why the word endure is in the word of God so many times. He that shall endure. In order to endure, there has to be something going on. Endure the fact that you can't make it. Sometimes you just goof up. So what do you do? Give up? Well, that's up to you. But if you endure, you not only will make Jesus rejoice in the presence of His angels, but you'll also be going the direction where you can find yourself saved. While the judgmental people of all the churches may not make it. Because it's disobedience to try to judge others when you just need to be working on yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, we go back just a few, or going down a few more verses there. And it says, if you endure chastening. Sometimes God, He does kind of like bounce us around a little bit. Sometimes He allows us to get ourselves into a place where He wants us to be reminded that His Word is true. And Brother Rick, you need to be thankful to God that He loves you so much that He caused you to feel like talking like you talked for whatever reason it was about tonight. I've had to do that a few times, several times. More times than you know about, and about what, I will never tell you. The only one I confess my sins to is Jesus, because He's the only priest I trust. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's all praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, if you endure chastening, if you endure God kind of whipping you a little bit, God deals with you if you endure as His own son, as with sons. Because according to this scripture, as we read on down to it, it gets pretty plain. And it says, if you won't endure, God's correcting. You're not His child. You're not legitimate. You're not acceptable. Praise God. Amen. I like to say it like that so I don't have to read it. Read it for yourself. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You don't want to go against God. You might go against the wind. You might go against the current. You might go against a lot of things, pressures that are on you in this life. But if God is coming at you, just go ahead and let Him get you. I used to rub my dad when he'd start reaching for his belt. Then I learned the secret of success, how not to get hurt so bad. Because when I'd run from him, the end of that thing would hit me. And that hurt. When the end of it, you know, he'd be chasing me and swinging that. Ding, you know, that end of it hurts. You don't want the end of a belt of a man running behind you hitting you. I'm telling you, I can tell you, it hurt. You know, he's dead now. So don't you go out, you people out there, don't you go out trying to look for him. The Norwich parking people. Was trying to sue him after he was in the grave years ago, and they called on the phone when I was in Arkansas and said, we're looking for Marvin Rutledge. I said, well, if you can find him, if you can get him to pay that fine, in fact, I'll tell you where he is. If you can get him to pay the fine, I'll just rejoice about that. I'll be happy. Well, where is he? I said, he's under the ground. Huh? I said, he's dead. And I got just as quiet as you did. But they didn't ever call again trying to get him to pay that fine. Besides, that wasn't his fine. I'm the one that... Well, I'm not going to talk about that. Confession's good for the soul. Amen, amen. But if you endure, God sees you as His child. God's never going to abuse His people. God's never going to hurt anybody. But He will correct us, and it'll seem like we're just about to die when He does. You've ever felt like, oh man, what else can go wrong in my life? After you've lived for God a while and you wonder, why in the world is this happening to me? And we can look around and we can say it's because of this, it's because of that, but if you'll look back a little bit, you might see some errors in your life when Jesus wanted to talk with you and you wouldn't listen to Him. When Jesus wanted to walk with you and you wouldn't walk with Him. When Jesus wanted to bless you and you had other things to do. And so, all of a sudden you find yourself in misery. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. Don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you cry out, oh, what am I going to do? And when you get tired of all the not knowing what to do, frustrations, and you start giving up and giving in and just keep going to church, something might happen for you. It just dawned on you. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Or you go here and you go there and you try this, you try that. Lord, just waiting on you to try Him again. Just see what He can do. Then you can look back and you can see why you went this way and that way and bounced this way and bounced that way. He was just dealing with you as His child. And that's something to be thankful about. Because if the Lord didn't come down on you a little bit and make you feel miserable by allowing, that's one reason He created the devil anyhow, so He could do God's service. Don't you understand that the devil ain't nothing but a puppet on a string? God's pulling the strings. He couldn't even have touched Job if the Lord hadn't given him permission. Praise God. So if you say, the devil's been beating up on me, hey, that's God's hit man. So in all things, give thanks unto God, because this is the will of God concerning you. Take it as a whipping from the Lord when His hitman comes at you. That's a good reason to call on the name of the Lord. Those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a refuge when the devil is about to destroy you. The only reason it's allowed to happen to a child of God is so you'll cry out to the one that can put the devil under your feet. Because you sure can't do it by yourself. Hallelujah. I was running from that belt and it was hitting me. Oh! Daddy! Oh! Daddy! And my mama would be around the corner and she'd have one of them too. And when I'd outrun him, she'd come out from behind the corner and go, pew, she'd get me. And I had them both after me. Oh! Daddy. That was when I was a little girl. I mean boy, little boy. One day I saw the light. I turned around instead of running. And I ran to him. Surprised him, because when he swung, he missed. And I grabbed him by the leg, threw my arms around his leg, and I hooked myself to him. And put my legs around his leg. And I held on and I said, Daddy, let's pray. And he tried to hit me. But it's hard to hit somebody that's holding on to you. And he was trying to hit me and laugh at the same time. And he said, you know, I was just a little kid, but he said something like this. He said, you ought to think about this, son. He was trying to not laugh because he thought that was funny. If he was not holding on, Daddy, let's pray. He said, you should have prayed before this moment. I said, yeah, but I'm praying now. Hallelujah. Just a small, crude illustration of what you need to do when you're running from God. Turn around. Run to Him. Grab a hold of Him. Hallelujah. And say, Daddy, let's pray. Hallelujah. He's merciful. He only lets you go through what you're going through because He loves you. Because He loves you. Now the world will turn their thumbs down on you. You know, Satan, he's such a tricky loser. And he wants everybody that he affects to think you're a loser too. And he will use all those that he has control over their lives to work with to try to convince you that you're a loser. Amen. And the closer you get to God, the more you're going to have to fight those snakes off of your life. But you got Jesus. And Jesus is the captain of your salvation. Jesus is the captain of the armies of the Lord. Jesus goes before us to fight our battles. We're never in this thing by ourselves. And just when you think, like David did, I looked on my left, nobody cared. I looked on my right, nobody cared. Refuge fell me. There's no place I could go. There's nothing I could do. Then I cried out to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He heard me. Praise God, He heard me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Not evil coming from those out there, and no evil that I might have gotten involved in, because He is with me. And He strengthens me. And He restores my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I watched in a church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, Mickey Mangan's dad, Brother Lumpkin, as he was talking to the church one day while I was his music director. And he just did a simple plea for somebody to turn loose of the world and come and cry out to God. Two men came walking down the aisle. One of them was a homeless beggar from the streets of Fort Smith, Arkansas. The other one was the president of the bank in Fort Smith. And side by side, they didn't know each other, but side by side, they came walking down that aisle. A homeless beggar and the president of the bank. And they both needed the same thing. Hallelujah. They both were just as lost. Because it's not what you own, not how much you can make. It's not how many jobs you have. It's whether or not you want Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, when you cry out for Jesus, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been going to church or how long you haven't been going to church. I don't care how long it's been since God cleansed you and you haven't sinned since then and you've just been perfect all this time. Or if you sinned just before you came in here tonight. But God we serve is well able. Hallelujah. And if we try to judge one another, He'll restore us in spite of all we can do to keep it from happening. Hallelujah. He'll restore. He'll have people testifying about the victory while you're sitting there mad at them. Praise God. Yeah, people rejoicing and praising Him because they got set free. But you're still holding a grudge. So don't try to play God. If God's rejoicing, that's why they can rejoice. And if you want to rejoice, you make God rejoice and He'll let you shout too. Hallelujah. We all need to praise Him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sinner, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Child of God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Beggar on the street, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Silly person, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Foul mouth, pervert, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There ain't nothing God can't clean up. There is nothing that God can't cleanse. There's nobody that God can't restore. There's not a single soul that can't shout with a victory in this city of Norwich, Connecticut. Let's all raise up our hands and let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus told somebody, He said, I wasn't called to teach and preach to the righteous. I was sent to the sinners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's looking for sinners. While we are still hoping in Him, trusting in Him, testifying about His goodness, and loving Him and living for Him, that does not make us better than anybody else. That makes us what we ought to be. So those He's dealing with can come here and be part of this, and they can rejoice too and find their hope. When somebody else goofs up, they can turn around and say, He did it for me. He can do it for you. I was just where you are. I've gone through what you've gone through. I know what it's all about. And they can find hope and know that if you can know God, they can know God. That's how Jesus deals with people. He saves losers and makes winners out of them so losers can come and find that they're able to still be appreciated and loved. No matter who knows what. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And this is a message that's almost been lost in religion. It's almost forgotten about and nobody wants to hear it, it seems. But it's a message that rings loud and clear. And it's needed. Hallelujah. I've had preachers call wanting to come and preach for us. And I've turned many of them down because after they gave me all their qualifications, I thought they were too good for us. Sorry. I'm not looking for somebody that has license that's been true blue to the UPC all these years. I'm looking for somebody that's fought a few battles and endured. In fact, we've had a few people to preach that they kicked out and would never allow back in. Hallelujah. You don't have to know who they are. Because when they preached here, they were saints of God. And such were some of you, and some of you messed up since then. But we're letting you sing and testify, so why couldn't we let them sing and testify? Because they got restored just like you got restored. And it's the same God who loves everybody. Ain't nobody a loser if you're trying to look to Jesus. Because He's the author and the finisher. I'm not the finisher. I can't do it, but He can. It's like, you know, I used to try to build houses when I was a kid. They'd fall down when I get through building them. I didn't know how to make them look right. Took shortcuts, tried this, tried that. None of them had a foundation. I didn't know what a foundation was. I just put boards and sticks together, nailed them together, and tried to get in them. Next thing you know, they were falling in on me. Hallelujah. And that's just the kind of house we build if we try to build it ourselves. But when Jesus takes charge, He's the master builder. He's the master builder. Hallelujah. I'd like to tell you this before I close tonight. Just at the time that, this is my personal testimony, I'm going to try not to share too many details because nobody's business, because it's all cleaned up by the hand of God. But just at the time that I yielded my will, after being in church for a while, after being faithful to God, but getting so busy in business and so busy and, you know, operating radio stations and music stores and teaching school and going to college and trying to be a provider for our household and teaching music, had all this going on at one time, at the same time, and trying to be faithful and go to church. It's hard to get really tangled up in the world that much and give Jesus your best. Anyway, it was difficult for me. I was trying, but it was hard. And I thought I was doing all right because I was going to church and I was directing the choir and I was showing up and doing whatever it takes to get there, and it was crazy stuff I did sometimes. I would show up at church and just get there right in time to play the organ with a transistor radio in my shirt pocket so I could listen to make sure I'm still on the radio, which at that time it was illegal to leave a radio station unattended, which I left it unattended because I was playing myself recorded for years before they passed the law that it's okay to do that. But I went ahead and knew sooner or later they'd need to do this, so I went ahead and set the pattern for the FCC. But even in church, I was so interested in seeing if I was still on the air, that while the preaching's going on, I'm reaching down for my radio to hear myself saying, "This is KADL 1270. Good to be with you on this Sunday morning." I'd click it off. Yeah, everything's cool. You know, had that going on. And I went through the same thing that people go through in churches, where we become faithful to the house of God. We become faithful in paying our tithes. We become faithful in doing what's expected of us. But we find ourselves not realizing that we have drifted away from God. Hallelujah. And in that drifting away, there are things out there that grab a hold of us. We don't even know they're there. And I can relate to anybody. I'm telling you, you're not pulling anything new over on me that I hadn't already had a taste of. But in the midst of all this, when I surrendered my life to do what God would want me to do, it was in the midst of all this. The day I was driving through our city crying and saying, "God, you know," after I had thought the thought, just a thought, "wouldn't it be something if I could, you know, give all this up and just turn loose?" I was successful too. I was making a lot of money during those days. A lot of money. And I was just thinking, driving my new van and having all this money coming and going, just all these stores and all this stuff. Just thinking, wouldn't it be something if I just give all this up? Now, I thought it was just me thinking it. But as I thought on that, I was thinking, wouldn't it be something? And at first, it was just a thought. You know, thoughts come and go. You know, I didn't expect this one to hang on like it did. But wouldn't it be something if I could just give all this up? Because I realized at that time, while I was driving, that things weren't like I wanted them to be. I didn't have that peace I once had. And I found it easier to kind of blow up and kind of be, you know, a little bit stronger than Christians should be. And remember, if you're in a city, whoever you talk to, when you're talking to them, be angry if you have to, but sin not. Don't do anything that would stop your opportunity from being able to come right back a day or two later and invite them to church. getting quiet again around here. And if you have, hey, stop it. And run to the one that's whipping you instead of from him. Because you have difficulties while doing these things. You may just be like me. I was back then. I was going to church. I was paying my tithes. I was living for God. But I was saying a few words once in a while. They'd just slip out. And finding myself tempted. I mean, that was the time when I was tempted. I was in a place driving across the state. And I saw all these bright lights. And I was unhappy the way some people were. I noticed some bad things about some of the church people. And it aggravated me. And I got to thinking about that. Don't ever let yourself get to letting your mind wander. Don't ever justify. I'm telling you from experience. Don't justify your wrong because somebody you know is not living it. Because you'll never find a time when somebody's not living it. What you need to do is find out if you're going to be able to live it. And only God can help you do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But I saw the wrongdoings of some of the people who testified. I saw the hypocrisies. I saw some of those that I thought were okay and it turned out they wasn't. It really disappointed me. It vexed me. And I even had these thoughts. If they can't make it, what hope is there for me? You know, I had those thoughts. And during that time, I was driving my van across the state and I saw these bright lights. And that's when I decided to just stop and take a look at this place where I'd never been around places like that. Because I'd been sheltered in church all my life. There was a nightclub. And I noticed all these people, they seemed like they were happier than the people at church. I mean, we go to church during the week, and I work so hard all day long. These are my thoughts. I work so hard all day long to get there, and they sing the same old songs. And the preacher gets up and takes prayer requests, and everybody's sick. I was thinking these thoughts, you know. And you look at the congregation, they're all sitting there like they're miserable. I had these thoughts. If you ever had those thoughts, it's kind of common to man. You know, you can go out and party and everybody's laughing and playing and having a big time. And you can cuss and sin and do all kinds of things out there. But you come to church, well, praise God, everybody. We all just kind of hobble in here and get here at the last minute. And anybody need something tonight? Yeah, pray for me. I'm feeling so bad that I don't know. I'm going to make it through this service. So you leave here and you drive by a nice lighted up place where people say, we're going to party tonight. Woo! Glory. No, they don't say glory. You know. But, yeah. But they looked so happy. And the music sounded so good and it was loud. And people were on the inside dancing. And they were having what seemed like a good time. And I was miserable and I was thinking about every hypocrite I know. And I was thinking about, yeah, look what I've been missing. Look what I've been missing. See, I didn't know God was riding with me right then, listening to everything I was thinking. He knew what I was going through, and He loved me so much, He wasn't going to let me go in there without Him being with me. I thank Him that He loves us that much. I'm going to tell you, God will follow you to the sin holes of your life. You can't get yourself in any mess that He won't be there to help you out if you want Him. Praise God. He won't partake of your sins, but He'll watch you while you're sinning and love you right through it and say, come on, follow me. Amen. As soon as you're so down that you can't get up, He'll pull you up if you just acknowledge Him. This is not justifying sin, but thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. God knows our heart. If we're true, He has a way of just restoring us and blessing us. And the day that it seems like there's no hope and there's no way and you can't make it is a day God opens up the treasures of heaven and pours out blessings that you didn't even know existed. Hallelujah. So I wandered in that place. I stood out. I wasn't going to go in and I thought about it. But the more I thought about it, my thoughts went back to those miserable church people. And I saw these happy people, and I thought about those grouchy people. Thought about that Sunday school superintendent that was mean to me. Thought about those people I went home with on Sunday, and I heard them criticize the pastor and talk about how they don't agree with some of the way he does things. And I thought about how some of them had been one thing in church and something else when they're not in church, because I caught them as a kid, because I was always where I shouldn't be too, and when I was younger. And somehow we have a way of finding each other when we're out there. But I was having all these thoughts. So I just kind of wandered inside. Just wandered inside. And I stood there. And it, you know, in the condition I was in, it actually felt good. And I got to, you know, I had no intention of drinking anything. I had no intention of doing anything except just watching to see what happens outside of the church. And most of you know this story. So I stood there and I looked around. I adjusted to the environment, the darkness, the blue lights, the moving lights. It's different from what I'm used to. People dancing and music playing and people smiling and laughing and having a good time. And a real pretty lady standing straight across the room was looking straight at me. I wasn't sure at first. But then she smiled, and I smiled. And she smiled some more, and I smiled some more. My heart got to beating. I thought, well, Lord, you know, I'm not going to do anything wrong here. I'm just looking. You know, I thought later, the Bible says, watch and pray. That wasn't the right scripture right then, though. You need to change tapes? Go ahead. I might want to play this to somebody someday. Amen. I'm about to close. Hey, you're learning a lot about me now, Brother David. Please still let me be your friend when this is over. So anyway, she started walking my direction. And then I got scared. I'm like a little dog, you know, chasing a big truck. What's he going to do with it when he catches it, you know? And I was thinking, is she coming here? What am I going to do? What if this? What if that? But it felt good to know she's paying attention to me. That's all I need. That's good enough. But I'm quitting anyway. If I go too far, everybody know too much. That's all right. Good enough. So anyway, here she came. As close as she got, the moment my heart was beating fast. She came right up to me, smiling just so pretty. Looked me right in the eye. And I was wondering, now what? You know, what would we do here? I knew what, you know, what men and women do, but no, I can't do that. You know, I felt like maybe dancing, but I didn't know how to do anything but the bunny hop. And so I didn't know how to dance. I learned the bunny hop in the first grade, and everybody, I didn't know how to dance steps. I knew she probably wants to dance, and I can't dance, so I just stood there trembling, and she walked right up to me smiling. And she reached in her purse and handed me something. And I said, thank you. She said, read it. With a big smile on her face. I was expecting something different to what I saw. I opened it up and it said, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Caught. She was there on a mission with a church group. And they were there to tell everybody in that place that Jesus loves them. And I just happened to walk into where I needed to hear it. And she said, "Do you know Jesus?" She started asking questions. "So what do you do for a living? Where do you live? You live around here? You come here often?" Before I could answer a question, she'd ask me another one. "Do you know Jesus? Have you ever accepted Him as your personal Savior? You ever thought about it?" Now, you know, I spoke in tongues, got baptized in Jesus' name. I'd been in church all my life, but I didn't know how to answer her. So she said, "Read this." And I started reading it. And it said, "If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was born and He died and He rose again, you'll be saved." And she said, "Here's a pen. If you'll sign, read that and say to me you do believe it, you can sign right here and you'll be saved and on your way to heaven." And I want to say, that's false doctrine. But I wasn't in a place to preach. I hadn't even dedicated my life in a long time at that time, because I had drifted through thinking, through being busy. No excuse for it, but it happens to some of us sometimes. But thank God for His mercy. Because if it hadn't been for the blood of the cross and the mercy of Jesus, that would have been the end of my dedication to God. That would have been the end of my relationship with God. But Jesus had somebody planted there that made me realize that I really did have something. And if I could just get back to it, everything could be all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah.